This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
You know, for me to be the captain of the team, Steph being the captain of his team and us doing that, you know, that draft, it was something that hadn't been done before. And the great thing about our commissioner, he's absolutely okay with trying something new, you know, to change the format. And it definitely worked out for everybody.
I would agree. LeBron James, post-game last night, following the All-Star game, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline, where we find our friend Kristen Winfield from SB Nation. Kristen, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I am good. I think it was the issue on my end. I think I'm all right now. I'm great. How's everything on your end?
It's great. Thanks for the time today. All right. So following the LA All-Star game, the new format, I'm assuming you're like everyone else that you found the new format to be refreshing and fun. But did you like it?
I loved it. You know, it was awesome just seeing guys, you know, actually getting after it. We've seen year after year the All-Star game just seems to be a, you know, players aren't putting their all. They're not really going out there and competing. No, that wasn't the case this year. These guys really wanted to win. Especially you could see in that fourth quarter, guys are really getting after it. And you could see when LeBron was being awarded the All-Star MVP, Steph didn't. His face was just, you could tell he wasn't upset. He was pretty upset with it. So I think this is just a new way to get some excitement over the game. And I'm a really big fan of where it's going to go forward from here.
Will they televise the draft next year, in your opinion?
Yes, I believe Adam Silver said that that's where they're going with it. So, you know, if I think that's the only thing that you could really take away from this year's event. It's like, man, we wish that they televised the draft. I think that they've got no choice but talent. I think they're all for it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. That's going to add a whole other layer, whole other dimension to this game.
Yeah, I think if you only watched 30 seconds of the game last night, if it was the last 30 seconds, you saw all you needed to know where the game ended on a defensive stand. When's the last time an All-Star game ended on a defensive stand?
Never. You know, the All-Star game is always like, you know, a show of offensive excellence. You know, and now seeing guys actually get after their defense, it's like, man, these guys, there's game checks for each year. Everybody's getting, winners get $250, losers get $100,000, but these guys are really out there. I don't even think it was about money. These guys just wanted the victory. And you could see it, like you said, in those last 30 seconds. You could see it at different points of the game. Guys are really getting after it. And that's what they wanted. That's what these guys wanted. When Chris Paul called Adam Silver and said, we've got to do something about this a couple years ago, this is what they envisioned, a game where guys would really be competitive and trying to get – and also having fun. I think that was the best part. As you could see, guys are having fun. But when it came to winning time, guys are ready to strap up and get it going.
And what I liked personally was the fact that you had former teammates now being teammates on an All-Star team, whether it be Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook or LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, those guys back together. But then you also had Steph Curry against his current teammate in Kevin Durant. So there's even trash talk that can go on in one locker room, in one team's locker room. So I think it elevated it elevated everything, right? I mean, it was old time, it was new time, it was all about pride in my mind.
Yeah, and I think that's what you get when you've got a pickup style game. You know, you're going to pick up guys, whoever's the best available. And LeBron, he spoke about how he picked his team, I believe, yesterday after the game. He was like, hey, Kyrie, we've got to pick them up. I mean, Kyrie was his third choice before he picked up DeMarcus Cousins. And that's just the way it goes. You know, when you got a playground atmosphere type deal like what they have this year, you know, it's the best player is who you're going to pick up. And
right.
In this case, KD and Russell ended up on the same team. LeBron knew Kyrie was the best player available at that point, so he picked him up. And I think this format is beautiful. It takes you back to the park, takes you back to the old days when everything was fun, and you can see it on the court. So as long as they keep it this way, I think it's going to be a lot of fun going forward.
Christian Winfield covering the NBA for us, SBNation.com, here on Pushing the Odds. So Adam Silver floats out the idea of a 1-16 style tournament, no more recognition of Western Conference, Eastern Conference in the postseason. I don't know where you come down on this, but I'm not a traditionalist per se. I like the idea of winning your division and then winning your conference and then playing in the finals. And I don't care if the top two teams don't play each other. Most likely the top two teams, if they're both from the West, are meeting in the Western Conference. So to me, I just think it's an extra great round of basketball. Where do you come down on the proposed 1-16 tournament for the NBA playoffs?
I am, you know, I kind of want to see all of the details those before I, you know, because I believe Adam Silver said 1 through 14 would be like a, would be the top season, and the last two seeds would be teams, you know, the rest of the teams in a little tournament style fighting over those last two. I'm not sure if that's for Mills. That's something I read. I said that would be awesome. If you've got the top 14 seeds locked in, then you've got a little tournament to get into those last two seeds, kind of like, you know, the last ones out in college basketball. I think the way college basketball has a tournament set up is pretty awesome. And just having it lined up similar to, not exactly like that, would be cool too. I do think that having, you know, I mean, when you look at the conferences now, it's sometimes it's just so imbalanced. You already know who's going to get there. And I wouldn't care if it was Cavs, Warriors, Rockets. One of those teams needs to be winning this year. And the fact that, you know, the two best teams in the league just might be in the West, it's just like, well, you know, conferences are what they are now, but really do them for us. You know, and I think that eventually that's the way the league is going to go. I think we do want to see exactly what it would look like. Maybe we see it in the G League first. Maybe we see it on a smaller scale before they blow it up for the entire league. But I think that it's a move in the right direction. I just want to see what it would look like first before we say this is law for the rest of time.
Yeah, I'm just, to me, I just think when you start tinkering around and taking away the division championship and then the conference championship, we've already diminished the regular season a lot by the playoffs. Aren't we kind of throwing away the regular season then? I mean, it's 1 through 16. I mean, I can almost guarantee, other than maybe the Eastern Conference fighting their tails off, the West would be pretty much, they would know who would be in. It would be basically like, I don't know, 10 teams from the West or 12 teams from the West that would get in, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, that would you know what I'm saying, that just gives you added incentive to get better, you know, and that's really what we want to do. Nobody wants to see these tanking. Nobody wants to see a lot of these stuff. They want to see these teams getting after it on a nightly basis. And if you think you already know who's going to get in a certain conference, then, you know, that's good. That's either going to give you added incentive to get after it, or you're going to just wash the season away. And I think that, you know, I do agree with you on the level, like, you know, the conferences or the divisions, at least, it does help break things up and having division championships. But at the end of the day, I think we still kind of know who's going to get in and who's not going to make it in each conference. So it's kind of just like, well, eliminate that and let's just see what happens when there are no conferences. Let's see what happens when it's a fight for everyone to see who gets in. I think it'll be interesting. I do see where you're coming from, but I think that eventually, you know, this is probably the way we're going to end up going.
Doesn't it go in cycles, though? I mean, when I was growing up, the Eastern Conference with the Bulls, Celtics, and Pistons was dominating. I mean, just I just feel like this is a short-term view, a short-term look at the league versus a big-picture look because, look, LeBron's going to go potentially to the Western Conference, and I know that would change things, but the Eastern Conference has a bunch of young teams coming up, and there's opportunities in the Eastern Conference. I'm surprised that the NBA would do this because I do think that you would end up, I think, looking at the league. It changes. It may take a long time, but the East will be back, don't you think?
Yeah, the East will be back. You know, the league is kind of, you know, this tends to repeat itself, and I do believe the East will be back. You can see it now. The 76ers are a lot better. Everything just takes a little bit of time. I do think that but even if you look at the West, too, you know, look at the Suns, they've got a couple of young players that are on the come up. All these teams that are down right now are going to eventually make their rise. I do think the East is on the way up, too. So I guess, you know, it is kind of cyclical. The NBA has a history of repeating itself. All these teams that are at the bottom will eventually rise up. So I guess I still am a proponent of seeing this 16-team tournament, and I do understand how some people can be a little bit against it. But, you know, some things change for the better, and I think this is going to be one of them.
Do you think it happens soon?
I'd say soon as in the next 2 to 3 seasons, probably, yes.
Wow, so that soon. So would we keep the divisions? Is there any need to keep the divisions if that were to happen?
I mean, I think so. I don't think you have to get rid of divisions as well. I do see what you're saying. If you get rid of conferences, and you do have to, I guess, divisions.
I think you could have the conferences from a scheduling standpoint. I think you could keep the Eastern and Western Conference, meaning you play.
You could probably keep the divisions, keep the conferences, and then when it comes to playoff seeding, it probably doesn't matter as much what conference you're coming from. It's just seeds. So I guess divisions are still there.
The reason why I asked that.
A division crown.
The reason why I asked that is because for a long time, you know, look at the Atlantic. I mean, there's been some really, you play the most games against teams from your division. So your schedule, now you're going to talk about strength of schedule, and now you're going to talk about who's playing who. And the NFL does this sometimes. You know, the NFL, if you look at what the Patriots do, they play in a weakened AFC East, and people get angry about that all the time, about their path to the playoffs and their path. Couldn't we say the same exact thing for a good team if they're playing in a weak division to get a better seed in the 1 through 16?
Well, I think the 1 through 16 also comes hand-in-hand with reducing the schedule, the reducing the amount of games as a whole. So I think this is part of the we need to hear, we need to see more details from the league office and see exactly what it is that they want to do, because I don't think they're just going to get rid of divisions and not have something else up their sleeve or get rid of conferences. I think it's all a ploy or a plan matter to cut down on the number of games as well. So I think we just need to wait and see how that plays out, and from there we can, I guess, figure out where we're going with divisions and conferences from that point.
All right, and last question. The national anthem sung by Fergie, last time she ever
sings... Oh, my goodness.
Last time she ever sings anything for the NBA?
I think last time she sings anything for anybody. That was really bad. That was... Oh, man. I have no words for it. That was really bad.
Christian, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me.
That is Christian Winfield, SB Nation, covering the NBA for us here with the All-Star Game. And, yeah, if you've not heard the national anthem by Fergie, we'll bump back in with it here in a second. My goodness. There should be a rule. When you're singing the national anthem, just sing the darn national anthem. Don't do some weird riff on it. Don't try to do interpretive singing on it. It was awful. And the players were legitimately laughing while she was singing it. That is not good. We'll play you that next. SB Nation Radio.